Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, here we go. Second straight night where the Blackhawks get shut out 3-0. They fall to the New Jersey Devils, ending their road trip at 1-2-0. They now move to 7-14-4 on the season, and the New Jersey Devils, the first team in the NHL, to 21 wins as they shut out the Blackhawks tonight out in Jersey. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We are taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight. Yes, an extended postgame show tonight to recap this one before we conclude things and then move on for the long homestand, or at least stretch of home games that the Blackhawks will have. Their next 6 of 7 will be played at the United Center. But first, before we head on there, let's head on back out to Prudential Center quickly to bring in Troy Murray. We called this game with John Weideman. And Troy, I mean, I know the scores were identical the past two games, but honestly, the setup of these games were pretty similar too. A good 20 minutes played by the Blackhawks to start things off. Even though they were down by a goal, the majority of the damage being done in the second period. And then once the third period rolls around, the other team, the probably better team, is able to just play their game, play a little bit more reserved role, and make it difficult for the Hawks to get anything going offensively.
Yeah, that's a pretty good assessment of kind of what happened the last couple of games. The Islanders are a good team. The Devils are a good team. And for the Hawks, they can't be satisfied with playing half a game like they did against the Islanders. Tonight it was one period, and then the Devils kind of pulled away from the Hawks. And it's frustrating for the players. I know it is. I've been there before. But they got to keep their heads positive. And Luke Richardson and the coaching staff have done an excellent job in that regard. And they're going to have to keep building on that to make sure that these guys don't get down on themselves. It's been a frustrating run. The offense has dried up. There's certain things that the Hawks needed to do in both of the games against the Islanders and the Devils, but they kind of play two different styles. The Islanders had that big defense, and they collapse, and they play a very structured defensive game. The Devils play a much more up-tempo game where they frustrate the Hawks in this game tonight. They frustrated them by back-checking and taking away time and space. Just not many options for the Blackhawks because of the swarming type of personality that the Devils team has brought upon themselves. Lindy Ruff has done a nice job of getting all these guys into buying into the way that they play. They've got the same makeup with a lot of speed, a lot of youth in their lineup, and they just track back hard. And that's one thing Richardson talked about before the game, that the Blackhawks would have to make quick decisions and move their feet right away. And I thought as the game kind of wore on a little bit, that energy just wasn't there the way it needed to be, and the Devils kept up their energy. They didn't back off at all. They didn't allow the Blackhawks in the third period to come back in this game and create momentum, so give them credit for that. So, again, in two similar games, the way that they kind of panned out, frustration at the end of it for the Hawks.
Yeah, and it's that back-checking that allows New Jersey to kind of play their game because they're able to bring the puck the other way and then just go tic-tac-toe. I don't mean to turn this into the Jack Hughes appreciation show, but, man, not only is he an elite scorer, Troy, it just seems like anytime he's got the puck, he's able to thread the needle and set something up. It's always a precision pass. He's always got the right idea of where to send the puck. The way he's able to assist his teammates is really something to wonder at.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why he was the first overall pick in 2019. He has got elite skill. There's no question about that. That's what he was touted as coming into the NHL, and that's what he has shown here with the Devils in his time. And I think that at only 21 years of age and playing in his fourth year in the NHL, that's pretty incredible how much he has matured and how well he is playing at this age. I mean, he is a centerpiece of this team. They've got a young guy in Heischer who was the first overall pick in 17. He's their captain. He's their leader. But with those two guys, very dynamic as far as their offensive abilities as 1-2, you really can't focus on one or the other. And then you throw in the third line as well, and the fourth line has an identity to them. This is a solid team, and for Jack Hughes, I mean, he's fitting right in there nicely the way that this team wants to play. When you're a coach, if you're Luke Richardson, you're Lindy Ruff, what you have to do is you have to look at your roster and you say, this is how we can play the game. This is what our identity is going to be. If the Blackhawks tried to play the same type of style as the New Jersey Devils, it wouldn't work. The execution just isn't there compared to what the Devils have. If the Devils wanted to play a chip-and-chase game like the Blackhawks, it wouldn't suit their style because their group of forwards are not big. So you look at your roster and you say, okay, what is the best type of system that we can play? And this is what our identity is going to be. The Devils played to their identity to a T. The Blackhawks tried to play to their identity, but they just started to make some mistakes. And then as soon as they got a little bit slower, the Devils took over in the way that they wanted to play. I was talking to one of the broadcasters before the game, and he was talking about the Philadelphia Flyers, who play a very simple type of game like the Blackhawks want to play on most nights, and that's just a chip and chase, get it out, chip it in. You know, force them, finish your checks. I just didn't see that come into play tonight. I thought maybe the Blackhawks tried to trade punches with the Devils, and if they wanted to do that, it wasn't going to work, and they didn't score.
Overall thoughts on Lucas Reichel's debut?
I didn't mind him. You can see that he's got skill.
Yeah.
And when you, and again, I don't want to be disrespectful to the, any other players, but, you know, when you have high-end skill like Lucas Reichel, that's why he's a first-round draft pick, and, you know, Patrick Kane. I was kind of a little bit surprised that that at some point that he didn't put Kane and Lucas Reichel together to see how that would work, especially if you're down. I mean, why not throw it in there? You got your two most dynamic forwards, put them on the same line together and see what happens. You know, they may make some adjustments moving forward. If Reichel gets another opportunity, but Taves will be back, I'm assuming, on Friday night against the Winnipeg Jets. But I you can see that he's got skill. Maybe a little bit overwhelmed, tough travel day for him. First period wasn't bad, but then he wasn't quite as involved as maybe you'd like him to be. No shots on goal in 14 minutes. But, it's tough to come in here and play a really good team that has the tempo and speed when you're not used to it. And you got called up around noon today and jumped on a plane and flew into New York, so the travel was not easy. But you can see that he's got high-end skill, no doubt about that.
Well, and now enough time to head back home, spend a lot of time at the United Center. There's a reason why they're dubbing it Home for the Holidays, six of the next seven at the United Center. So it will be nice to have the stable mentality of being at home for the next couple of weeks here around the holiday season.
Yeah, but the schedule at home is going to be tough. Winnipeg has been a tough opponent so far.
Yeah, no, that's true.
They haven't performed well in the two games against them. You got Washington coming in. You've got Vegas. Then the one road trip in there is to Minnesota, and the Wild are a really good team. You got the Rangers coming in. They'll be looking for revenge. Then you've got Nashville before playing Columbus, and then you get the holiday break. So it's not going to be an easy home schedule for the Hawks. They're going to have to focus, and they're going to have lots of energy and, you know, see if they can't turn things around here and start getting some wins back in that column.
All right. Well, we'll let you get on that plane so we can all get home, or all you guys can get home. And
yeah, where are you going?
I don't know. I'm going to talk until 10 o'clock tonight. So my head is just spinning right now. I would love to lean on you for the next hour, Troy. But I know you got to hop on that plane.
Yeah, I do. Great job, Joe.
Thank you, Troy. Likewise, safe travels. We'll see you in a couple days.
Okay, bye.
All right, that is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman with the call out tonight at the Prudential Center as the Blackhawks get shut out by the New Jersey Devils 3-0 in Jersey. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. We are taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight. So if you're on the fence about calling in or texting in, well, you got an hour and 20 minutes to pull the trigger on it. I've got a few texts coming in, not a lot of positive ones. And listen, I understand it's kind of a continuation of what had happened on Sunday. I do think it was a different effort tonight against the Devils. There's definitely more positives to pull from this game than the Islanders game, but I don't think you look at this game as a standard whatsoever of what the Blackhawks are trying to accomplish. They had a good start. They actually outshot the Devils 13-10 in that first period. They were outscored 1-0 as Jack Hughes set up Dougie Hamilton. We've continued to talk about Jack Hughes' offensive prowess. But the Blackhawks stayed in check with the Devils in that first period. And even though they got outscored 2-0 in the second period, it's not like they were overly dominated, which we saw a lot more in Sunday's game against the New York Islanders. It was the Devils being able to take advantage of a couple of mistakes by the Blackhawks, being able to capitalize on a power play. Their second goal of the game was actually a delayed penalty, so they were going to get a power play anyway. But actually, that goal in itself, a little bit of a microcosm of the game. As Troy had mentioned earlier, there was an opportunity for Andreas Athanasiou and the Blackhawks to clear the puck and end that drive. The Devils are able to keep it in. Actually, Arvid Soderblom loses his stick. I wasn't quite sure on the replay of exactly how he lost his stick. I saw some people saying that maybe Seth Jones might have accidentally been incorporated in that, but then Heischer's just able to fire a one-timer above the right circle. And Scott Darling was actually talking about during the intermission on the television broadcast on NBC Sports Chicago, that it throws off your balance as a goaltender, and it puts you in this uncomfortable feeling, this unusual feeling of where you're at and what you need to do. And listen, these aren't excuses, but they're reasons why the Hawks find themselves down 2-0, then eventually 3-0. We know how good the New Jersey Devils are as a team, and actually, they improved to 21-4-1 on the season. Another graphic I saw on the NBC Sports Chicago broadcast is that they have now tied the Blackhawks and a couple of other teams to pick up 21 wins in their first five games. Oh, that can't be right. So it was a previous record. So they missed out on doing what the 2013 Blackhawks did. When did they start that year? 21-0-3, I'm pretty sure. So the Devils were actually one win shy of matching 21 wins within the first 25 games of the season. Nevertheless, what the Devils are doing right now is definitely spectacular. They are an elite team in the East. They're kind of fighting with the Boston Bruins to be the best team in the East. But man, what a fun young core that they are. And we were talking about their three top scorers in Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier and Jesper Bratt, all being 24 years or younger, and all having at least 26 points this year. They all factored in on at least one point tonight. Hughes had two assists, Hischier with the goal, Jesper Bratt with the third goal. So this New Jersey Devils team is well built. And again, if there is a saving grace to pull from this game, is this is what the Blackhawks are going for. Maybe not identically, but this is what the Blackhawks want to become. And unfortunately, what the Blackhawks are doing right now is what it takes to get there. Fans have the complete right to be frustrated by teams' performances this season. They have the complete right to be upset with losses piling up. But there is a plan. There is a reason for this. It's not just happenstance. And unfortunately, that's what teams have to do. You got to go through the mud in order to come out smelling like a rose. There's a more PG-13 version of that, but I don't know what I can and cannot say on the radio. I can say this. We've got to get to a break, but we'd like to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Give us a text. We've got plenty to get to. Again, we're taking you up all the way to 10 o'clock tonight. We'll play highlights from this game. We'll hear from the coaching staff and the players tonight, and we'll take a look around the league as well. And we'll recap this one in Lucas Reichel's 2022 debut as we get you set for the Blackhawks' next game as they host Winnipeg on Friday. They get shut out by the New Jersey Devils tonight out in Jersey. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Yes, the boys will be back in town on Friday. Chicago Blackhawks will host the Winnipeg Jets Friday night at the United Center, starting a three-game homestand in six of their next seven at the UC. It's going to be Winnipeg, Washington, and Vegas. And as Troy mentioned, those are not trips in the park. Those are going to be tough games, but they should be fun ones. Alex Ovechkin coming to the United Center, the Vegas Golden Knights, and hopefully third time will be the charm for the Blackhawks against Winnipeg, who has really had their number this season. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 10 o'clock tonight, an extended postgame show for you. After a 3-0 loss to the New Jersey Devils and the Hawks being shut out, now 6-0 over their last two games after a win over the New York Rangers on Saturday. This road trip started off pretty solid. big important win against the New York Rangers, and then back-to-back 3-0 shutouts to the Islanders and the Devils. This one coming from the 814 asking when Sam Lafferty's going to return. And it sounds like they're Pennsylvania people and they're big fans of Sam Lafferty. I replied saying, you know, we're big Sam Lafferty fans here in Chicago, especially yours truly. And again, if you'd like to join in, 312-981-7200, you can call or you can text. We do have some sound on Luke Richardson, or rather sound from Luke Richardson, talking about a few of the Blackhawks' injuries and what the timetable for returning is for guys like Sam Lafferty, Tyler Johnson, Jared Tenorti, Pete Mrazek. For the quick answer, it does sound like Sam Lafferty is scheduled to possibly start practicing with the team this upcoming week when they return back home. So that's a great sign. Sam Lafferty, a huge part of this team, especially on the penalty kill, especially in terms of this team's ingenuity to get things rolling. That's another huge aspect, though, to point out. Even though the Blackhawks, again, have been outscored 6-0 over their last two games, they're missing Lafferty, a huge part on both the offense and the defense. They're missing Jared Tenorti, which somebody brought this up on Twitter regarding that maybe the Blackhawks are missing some muscle with Tenorti out. I do want to talk about that in a little bit. But they're obviously without Tyler Johnson, huge piece of this offense. And the goaltending situation hasn't really been phased that much because Arvid Soderblom continues to perform no matter when he's called upon. But then you were also missing Jonathan Toews today. And I know Toews had slowed down a little bit on the scoring sheet as of late, but he's still just a huge piece out there. He's the captain. He's the leader. Not only that, he's a huge faceoff guy. The Blackhawks actually beat New Jersey in the faceoff circle, 52-48 tonight. But when you play a talented team like New Jersey, the less time that they have with the puck, the better. So hopefully it's a quick turnaround for Jonathan Toews. However, Lucas Reichel got another taste of the NHL today, making his debut, as Troy Murray had mentioned, that looked pretty good. Obviously, a tough circumstance for him. He's got to come back from the East Coast, where he was traveling with Rockford, then quickly hop on a plane and go back to the East Coast to suit up in a Blackhawks white sweater, but gets thrown on the second line and got a good amount of playing time, over 13 minutes. He won a couple of his faceoffs as well. He was a minus one today, but again, when you get shut out 3-0, that's not too jarring. 21 shifts in tonight's game, and even had a little bit of a breakaway opportunity, so hopefully more experience for Lucas Reichel to help him out this year. Also getting this one from Doug in Geneva, asking if I have a cold. Yes, Doug, I'm battling a cold right now. I didn't know it would be that evident, but apparently it is. Hopefully don't give away too much. Let's get to how it sounded tonight over at the Prudential Center. Heading into this game, we knew it was going to be a tough one in order to slow down or at least limit the New Jersey Devils offensively. And right off the bat, Arvid Soderblom actually had a couple of point-blank saves in the first 3 minutes of this game. But the Blackhawks were able to hold their own. They had a couple of opportunities on their own. And then later, it ended up being Jack Hughes just doing Jack Hughes things and creating space down the middle and setting up the Devils' first goal.
Hughes from the right circle, fed it across. Hamilton shoots and scores. Well, Hamilton had all kinds of room. He could have completed his income taxes there. He had that much time to collect the puck and shoot it. He just snapped a one-timer past Arvid Soderblom. The Devils lead 1-0.
Dougie Hamilton, seventh goal of the season. Jack Hughes now with a point streak of 6 straight games. He's picked up now 10 points total through those 6 games, as he did end up factoring in another goal later on in this one, and he's now got 31 points on the year to lead the New Jersey Devils. But all in all, in that first period, again, pretty good turnout for the Hawks in that first 20 minutes. Again, they outshot New Jersey 13-10. That goal was just a factor of the Devils being more talented offensively and Jack Hughes being able to create that open space. So you're okay with that first 20 minutes played by the Hawks, but we understood that was the situation in Sunday's game against the New York Islanders, a solid start. And then in the second period, things started to turn. Now, that was kind of a more awkward situation, the Islanders getting their first goal of the game on an overturned goal call This one, a little bit different of a scenario. The Blackhawks had all the opportunities in the world to get things going. They had some time on a power play to begin that second period. Really didn't do great with the man advantage. And then they committed a penalty, which gave the New Jersey Devils a man advantage. They started getting some momentum, and then after the Blackhawks had cleared off that penalty, they ended up committing another one and weren't able to clear the zone. So the Devils are continuing their pressure in the Hawks zone, and it was Nico Hischier missing and then finding another opportunity.
Jesper Bratt, he's back into the Hawks zone with speed down the right wing. Backhands it across! Oh, and what a great save is made by Soderblom on Hischier with a shot from beside the net. Soderblom has lost his goal stick. Here's a shot from Hischier from near the right point. He scores! That happens on a delayed penalty. The Hawks were going to be assessed a minor penalty there. Soderblom had lost his goal stick by making that save on Hischier. But then as the Devils got the extra man on the ice, Hischier scored from way out. It's now 2-0 New Jersey.
And as we were mentioning earlier, him losing his goal stick may have been a factor of Seth Jones or somebody else colliding with Soderblom in on the net. And on the television broadcast, Scott Darling was talking about how much that takes you out of sync when you lose your goal stick. You kind of get off balance. So Hischier just pounding away on it and giving the Devils a 2-0 lead. Later on in that second period, the Devils were able to pick up another goal.
Hamilton now high slot to Hughes. Left wing faceoff dot. Put it over to Bratt. He shoots and scores. Jesper Bratt from the right wing circle. Off assist from Hughes and Hamilton. It's a power play goal, and now 3-0 Devils.
Shouldn't mention, before that goal, right after Hischier made it 2-0 Devils, Brendan Smith had pushed Lucas Reichel down to the ice well after the whistle. And that gave the Blackhawks a power play. And that was an instance right there where if you're the Hawks, you see that as a huge opportunity to kind of stop the bleeding and get a little momentum rolling. You got a man advantage. You're able to take advantage of a situation right after a New Jersey goal. But they didn't really have that great of a power play. And that's another frustrating thing for the Hawks as of late. Heading into Sunday's game, the Blackhawks power play had been looking very good. They had four straight games with at least one power play goal. I think they had converted six out of their last 12. There just seemed to be a lot more composure and a lot more strategic passing. Of course, Seth Jones returning to the lineup was definitely a beneficial factor of that. And you had all your typical players in Kane and Taves and Max Domi and Andreas Athanasiou or whoever else they're factoring in on that power play. But now that's kind of offsided a little bit for the past couple of games. Again, you were without Taves today, another huge faceoff guy. That plays a role in maybe not succeeding in the faceoffs, or rather on the power play. And I feel like the Blackhawks really felt that tonight. Something else that somebody brought up on Twitter that I do think may have played a role in the fact that Jared Tenorti has been out for the Hawks for the past couple of games with a hip injury. He is kind of the Blackhawks enforcer. They have a few more, somewhat in Jake McCabe, somewhat in Jujhar Khaira, but Tenorti's the biggest guy out there. And I should mention, too, give a hat tip or a stick tap to Reese Johnson as well, going ahead and fighting Casey Cizikas on Sunday. But Tenorti's kind of that enforcer to really provide the muscle for the Hawks. And I'm not saying that the other team is totally exposing that, but I do think maybe they're a little bit more inclined to get a little bit more physical and be a little bit more edgy. We definitely saw that in the two New York games against the Rangers and the Islanders. Today, not so much, but you almost wonder if that, how big of a factor that is playing. Like, okay, we don't have our typical enforcer for tonight. Who's going to be the one to step up? You know, you don't have to do that whole looking around thing and be surprised and kind of give that reactionary applause to the guy who does step up, because normally it's just Jared Tenorti. I don't know. I could be speaking out of turn, but somebody brought that up, and I did think that that was worth just mentioning. We've got more to get to. Again, we'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. 312-981-7200. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show as they get shut out by the New Jersey Devils 3-0 on 720 WGN. Another pretty solid day for the Blackhawks goaltender in Arvid Soderblom, despite suffering the loss. You can't really charge him with all three goals tonight. The first one, stellar carving of the defense by Jack Hughes, setting up Dougie Hamilton in the first period. Nico Hischier blowing one past him when he lost his goal stick when the Devils were about to get an extra attacker on a delayed penalty, and then a Jesper Bratt goal on a power play. Those are the three goals that Arvid Soderblom coughed up. He did have 26 saves in tonight's game, so give him 99 saves in his last three starts. Let's do some quick math there. But yeah, he had 37 on Sunday night against the New York Islanders. He had 36 the night before, or I should say his previous start before, because remember he came in the third period for Peter Mrazek against the New York Rangers. But again, Arvid Soderblom continues to be a pretty solid piece for this Blackhawks organization. We're going to go ahead and give him our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. We'll also move to our three stars tonight, which is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. Vitek Vanacek, the opposite goaltender, the Devils goaltender who does pick up the shutout tonight. I believe I heard it was eighth of the season as he collected 20... Of course, my computer's pausing up right now. 24 saves in tonight's game as the Devils shut out the Blackhawks, handing the Hawks their second straight shutout of the season. The number two star, Dougie Hamilton, who had the second goal of the game, and then Jack Hughes, the number three star, who had two assists in tonight's game and continues to just roll. Again, a six-game point streak and picking up his 30 and 31st points of the year, which I believe puts him in a tie with his second season in the NHL. As Troy Murray had been mentioning, 21 years old, and it's his fourth year in the NHL. Because he's a guy capable of doing it. Number one overall pick back in 2019, and definitely living up to those expectations. However, I have continued to bring up the conversation about Jack Hughes and Lucas Reichel. Two guys that are young, offensive pieces in each of their team's organizations. It does look like Reichel might be moving more towards wing these days. He's listed as a left winger. He was on the left wing tonight in his 2022 NHL debut, but he has been playing a lot of center down in Rockford, and he was playing center last season, but it does look like the Blackhawks may be at least trying to make him versatile at both positions. But anyway, the Blackhawks made it their decision this year to make sure Reichel spends his time wisely in Rockford, to utilize the time down there to get better, to get stronger, and to get more confident. And Troy Murray brought up a good point, too. This is year one of a rebuild. So as much as you want to see Lucas Reichel producing at this level, maybe putting him down with a Rockford team that will be overall more competitive this year is more beneficial for his production. Now, Jack Hughes is a guy that they quickly brought to the NHL at 18 years old. We've seen it before. We've seen it from guys like Taves and Kane, which shows you the differences between Lucas Reichel and Jack Hughes. Jack Hughes is an elite scorer, but the Blackhawks want Lucas Reichel to eventually be an elite scorer. And the biggest reason of him being down there has been his size. About 6 foot, around 170 pounds, but bulked up to around 180 this year. Jack Hughes, right around that range, 5'11", 175, and he's clearly getting it done at the NHL level. So last night on Blackhawks Live, I asked the New Jersey Devils television play-by-play announcer Bill Spaulding I'm going to skip on to this next clip here. What allows Jack Hughes to be elite with his size at the NHL level? Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, you know, he's a couple years ahead, so that's why he's learned how to play at this at his size in this league. If you look back at his first couple of years, I mean, the Devils went the alternate route. They decided to let him learn with the iron sharpening iron approach, have him play top 6 minutes from the time he stepped in the NHL. But those first 2 years, there were a whole lot more rough nights for Jack than there were big nights for Jack. But the last couple of years, he's really adjusted. And Lindy Ruff again talks about this a lot. He's learned how to play at this level, which means, okay, you've got great skill. You can carry the puck past guys. But there are times where you need to chip the puck in. There are times where you need to get rid of the puck. You know, there are times where for your own physical safety, like, you got to not try and take a guy on one-on-three. You got to keep yourself in a position where you're avoiding a hit sometimes, or making the smart, simple play. It doesn't always have to be the perfect play. So I think that has helped him in terms of durability, He's learned how you play defense at this level. His defense this year, underrated, has been a huge improvement on past years. He's committed to the 200-foot game. He has a really quick stick, so he's great at back-checking and pickpocketing guys. And then, again, that elite level, you know, speed and his hands allow him to find little spaces and get by guys. But he's been smarter about how he's tried to do it. He's not trying to always take one on three now. He's playing within the system, playing within himself and his strengths. And I think he's also been put on a line this year that really allows him to succeed. He almost always has Eric Halla on his line, and Halla can play the bigger, heavier game. Halla can take some of the defensive load on, and Halla's taken a lot of the faceoff load on as well. And then whether it's been Dawson Mercer, who's recently been the right wing, or Jesper Bratt, who's been the right wing on that line a lot, it's always somebody with speed that can match Jack and with a similar creative mindset, so that it seems like Jack's got somebody thinking the game the same way he is and allows him to link up pretty well.
That's interesting, because a lot of Hawks fans have been pleased with keeping Reichel down, because in the past the Hawks have kind of rushed guys up so quickly, but it's interesting to hear on the flip side of how that's benefited Jack Hughes heading into this year, and clearly it has when you look at the numbers. All right, let's talk about this passionate fan base that are the New Jersey Devil fans, chanting for their coach to be fired in game one, I believe, and then totally eating it all and putting their tail between their legs and apologizing a little bit later. I mean, that's pretty cool. But what was going on in your mind in that first game when you start hearing the whole crowd chanting fire Lindy?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lindy Ruff had a good approach to it as well. Yeah. This is a passionate fan base. It's a fan base that, you know, was spoiled in a good way with a lot of success in the early 2000s, the late 90s, even getting back to the cup in 2012. So, you know, it's a fan base that knows winning. But at the same time, you know, since that 2012 cup final, hadn't seen a whole lot of winning, just the one trip to the playoffs in 2018, some bleak years recently. And, you know, the promise of what could be was there. So it was a fan base coming in that was really hungry for some success and really didn't want to see the status quo of the last couple of years. So those first couple of games, you know, the advanced metrics would tell you the Devils played pretty well in those games. But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter if you lose 5-2 and 5-2 like they did in back-to-back games. So the fan base was very frustrated there. And I think that's what you showed. Or what you saw. But at the same time, yeah, they've bought into this group. This is an easy team to root for. They play hard. They're likable. You don't have any guys who feel like they're passengers on this group. So, you know, they've come back to the building. We've seen five consecutive sellouts the last five home games. And in that stretch included the game where the Starry Lindy chants, which had become famous, came out. And the fans realized, hey, look, you got a team that's playing well. You just had to be a little bit patient. And now that passion has been funneled into supporting this Devils team and really trying to make life difficult on teams coming in. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it has been absolutely raucous there. And the night they played the Maple Leafs, which was their one loss in the last 19 games, there were three disallowed goals on the Devils there. So that game got a little bit controversial. But the last 10 minutes of that game, after the third disallowed goal, I've been in a lot of buildings in my career and as a sports fan, I have never been into an atmosphere that was more intense, and the rafters and the floor underneath our feet were literally shaking for the final 8 to 10 minutes of that game. So that's how loud and how energetic this crowd has been lately, really trying to make it a tough place to play, like it was back when you had to come in and try to beat Ken Danico and Scott Stevens and know you were in for a rough night every night you played the Devils.
Again, big thanks to Bill Spaulding, the television play-by-play voice of the New Jersey Devils. He joined us on Blackhawks Live. If you'd like to hear that whole interview, that's all on WGNRadio.com and wherever you find your podcasts, and just search Blackhawks Live 720 WGN. We do have some sound back from New Jersey. We're hoping to hear from Jack Johnson, maybe another Blackhawk, and Luke Richardson. More on that when we come back. Hawks fall to the New Jersey Devils 3-0 tonight. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. Recapping the Blackhawks' second straight shutout, unfortunately on the losing end, and their fifth one of the season. Big thanks to the 815 area code for calling in and correcting us with that information, but appreciate the diehards out there. And if you would like to join in, 312-981-7200, you can give us a call, you can give us a text. as the Hawks fall in their second straight shutout loss, 3-0 to the New Jersey Devils. They're now 7-14-4 on the season. The Devils, though, the hottest, if not at least one of the hottest teams in the NHL, 21-4-1. They're now 18-1-1 in their last 20 games. That's 37 points out of a possible 40. They are en fuego, if I'm quoting Dan Patrick. The Blackhawks did call up their top prospect tonight in Lucas Reichel to replace the captain, Jonathan Toews. Let's hear from the 20-year-old German forward.
When did you find out that you were coming on?
This morning when I got to the rink. So it was pretty quick, everything. Straight to the airport, driving an hour, and then in the plane, hour and a half, and then straight to the rink.
When did you get here?
It was like 2.5 before the game, so it's like pretty good, but no nap, but I felt pretty good.
What were your thoughts on your first performance of the season?
I think it was pretty solid. I think we all, as a team, we can create more offense, but overall it was a solid game. I mean, New Jersey is a pretty good team, tough to play against, and yeah.
Is it helpful to maybe not have that much time to think about it, to just kind of get thrown in for the first game?
Yeah, but I mean, I know how to play in NHL. I played last year a couple games, so I know what I expect. So I felt pretty good, and even with the flight and everything, I felt good, and didn't even eat lunch, but just eating like power bars or like banana or yeah. But like I said, I felt good.
What do you feel like you've been making some strides down there this year?
I think I got faster. Like I said, early in the season, I gained more strength and feel like I can use it more. And yeah.
How'd you find the pace of play compared to the American?
I think the pace is like the same than in the American League. Just like the skill and you know, like the smarter, like everyone knows where to go and stuff, and yeah.
On that goal where you were on defense, do you know what happened there?
Yeah, it was a late change. I came on the ice pretty late, and then yeah, we all like kind of looking for our guy in the D zone, and yeah, they played it fast and quick, and yeah, then I scored.
You were mostly playing center when you were up last year. To be on the wing tonight, does that feel any different for you?
I just play wherever the coach tell me to play.
I know you've been trying to get stronger, but you had that hit by Brendan Smith. Did that kind of rock you, or do you expect that kind of treatment?
No, I think it was late hit, so I heard the whistle and I, you know, like stopped playing. It was like, I feel like pretty late, and that's why they call it as a penalty.
I do. I do appreciate. Sorry about that. I do appreciate Lucas Reichel's ability to just kind of go with the flow and just take things as they come. Another important aspect of him being down in Rockford so much this year is the Blackhawks are being open to him about that, and they're having conversations with him about that. It's not like they just say, "Hey, you're going down to Rockford. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks when we need you back." They sent him down there with the plan to work on specific things and utilize his time down there and not just treat it as a demotion, because that's exactly what it's not. It's there to be used wisely and there to be used to Lucas Reichel's benefit. And he totally seems to be on board with that. And then even where he says, I'll play wherever the coach tells me to play, whether it's left wing or center. And, oh, I got to wake up in the morning after we just traveled from the East Coast to go back to the East Coast? Okay. I mean, obviously, it's you get called up to the NHL. Of course, you're going to do that at the drop of a hat. But, you know, he doesn't complain, and he's not overly too excited. And I mean that in a good way, where he just seems very calm and collected and understand where he's at. He understands his role. And I think that's important for him, being the Blackhawks' top prospect right now, to not put too much pressure on himself, to not stress himself out too much. He just understands the long-term goal of this whole situation. Jack Johnson also spoke with the media. Let's hear from number 8.
We didn't capitalize on chances. We had plenty of chances.
Yeah.
you know, but you don't score. You're not giving your goalie any run support, and it's tough.
Is there anything you could have done differently as a team to capitalize more? Because you're right, there were
no, I mean, we had tons of chances. It wasn't like we didn't get our looks. We just got to bear down and score. Keep shooting. I mean, you know, a couple miss the net. Can't score if you don't hit the net. You know, things like that. But we just got to capitalize on our chances. We're definitely getting them.
Second game in a row that this happened. Is that something to be concerned about?
I mean, we're aware we didn't score. I don't think you'd... you know, we're not going to like sound the alarms on it or anything like that, but it's just something that, you know, you don't have to be a hockey expert. You know, if you don't score, you can't win. So we got to bear down our chances.
But the confidence level of this team at this point, this road trip?
No, I mean, there's no reason to not be confident. You're in the NHL for a reason. You made it this far, so we should stay confident as a group and look forward to getting back after it and scoring some goals.
Is the positive Arvid play well?
Well, he played great. He's been playing great. We've gotten good goaltending all year. You know, if you don't have good goaltending, you don't have a chance, and we've had chances. So, yeah, I mean, you could say it was positive, but, you know, the other positive is, you know, we're getting chances 5-on-5, and it's hard to score in this league, so we're accomplishing the hardest part of creating chances, but we got to put the puck in the net.
So Jack Johnson clearly not thrilled with his team tonight as they get shut out for the second straight night. That's a whole other aspect of this thing, is this is got to be wearing on the team. They're able to keep an upbeat, optimistic point of view often. Even right before they left for this road trip, there was a pretty high energy practice at Fifth Third Arena, and Luke Richardson said that, yeah, that's what I asked for. He wants to make sure that these guys are still upbeat mentally and ready to give it their all every night, because that is what it's going to take to play competitive games. That came out of the gate on Saturday against the New York Rangers, and I do think the Blackhawks caught the Rangers at a favorable time for the Hawks, because the Rangers are in a bit of a spell right now. They're having difficulty just clicking on all cylinders, and you saw that happen on Saturday, and you saw Jacob Trouba trying to rally the troops by laying in a hard hit on Andreas Athanasiou just to get some life in the building, and it worked for a little bit. They got one goal, but then they weren't able to overcome it in the third period, and there was just a lot of team camaraderie from the Blackhawks in that game. Now, unfortunately, that started the road trip, and in hindsight, you look at it, okay, great way to start the road trip, and it is. And you gear up for these next couple of games, and it's important to get that first win under your belt. But it can be a long plane ride back when that's how you finish it, being outscored 6-0 in the last 120 minutes. But that's just how it goes sometimes. And that's the order of the scheduling that's just on the Blackhawks' plate. And again, as Troy Murray had mentioned, this next upcoming homestand, it's going to be tough. I can tell you that I do expect them to come out hard against Winnipeg. It's probably been the two most frustrating losses of the year. Maybe two out of the three or four. The Dallas and Boston losses were tough. But to lose twice to Winnipeg in the fashion that they did, I would imagine that they're eager to get some redemption on them. And it does help a little bit that they're at home once again at the United Center. So hopefully that will play a role. But it is going to be difficult. Then you get 3 days off before hosting Alex Ovechkin in the Washington Capitals the following Tuesday. Another late puck drop at the United Center at 8 o'clock. I know those ones are tough, but we appreciate those of you that are able to come out to the game or stay up with us to watch or listen. But it's going to be tough, but a fun matchup. It's always good when Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby or Connor McDavid come to town. So that will be a high-quality matchup. Vegas, the following home game, and then the only road game for the next 3 weeks for the Hawks is on the road against Minnesota in a back-to-back. So that's going to be tough for them as well. Minnesota playing a lot better lately. It's on the road. It's on the back end of a back-to-back before they come back home and they face the Rangers, who I bet you are going to come out very eager in that game against the Hawks in a couple of Sundays, and then the Nashville Predators, and then the Columbus Blue Jackets. So definitely a lot of hockey at the United Center to come on out and check out how the Blackhawks are progressing, because this is a part of the season where things are going to get tough, things are going to get frustrating, and things are going to move a little bit more slowly. It was a great start to the year. It was great to see the high energy that this team came out with. And it was just kind of a perfect storm. And we heard Luke Richardson and a few of the players admit it, too, that they were catching some puck luck. They were doing the right things in all aspects of the game, special teams, goaltending, offense, defense. And they were outworking teams for the majority of it. And it's not so much the case that they're being outworked all the time right now. I think they outworked New Jersey in that first period, but that's just what happens when the other team has more talent. You can outwork them, but you could still be losing. And that's exactly what happened. The Devils had a 1-0 lead because all it takes is one opportunity for New Jersey to get things going, and they're able to snipe in a goal. In these last two games against the Islanders and the Devils, we saw both teams playing to their attributes and then being able to not so much take the third period off, but take a more reserved role to play their game and not put too much pressure on themselves to score another goal. And on the flip side of that, sometimes you get the Blackhawks taking more chances to try and score a goal because they're down by three, and that just provides more opportunities for the other team. You got to see that in the Rangers game because it was the Blackhawks ahead by three, or at least two, and then they made it three. And then the Rangers were the team that were getting a little risky and pinching it a little bit more and trying to force things offensively because they were in desperate need of a goal. And then before you know it, Max Domi's got an opportunity and the Blackhawks are up by three goals. And they're putting that game away. But that is what it's going to take for this team against tougher opponents. It's going to take a full 60 minutes. And it's going to take a little bit of luck, and it's going to take hard-working goals. I mean, you take the majority of the goals that the Blackhawks have scored this year, it's not flashy puck-weaving plays where they're able to just dazzle the ice and find themselves on the highlight reel. We've seen a couple of those. We've seen Andreas Athanasiou's speed. We've seen Patrick Kane's behind-the-back pass to Max Domi the other night. I mean, that's there, that top line, somewhat the top two lines are still capable of that, but that's not how you're going to score on a consistent basis with this team. It's going to take the right type of puck movement, the right type of traffic in front of the net, the ability to not turn over the puck in the neutral zone at the blue line and give the other team opportunities, because New Jersey is not only going to pounce on those opportunities, they're going to control the majority of the game offensively. They're going to do what they want. And as Troy Murray had mentioned, you know, it almost seemed like at a few points the Blackhawks had tried to play New Jersey's game, catching them off guard and trying to rush a couple passes and force something to happen. But it's not quite possible with this team right now, and that's just the harsh reality. And I think that team understands it. I don't think the Hawks are naive of where they're at right now, and that's why they are capable of bringing their best energy and best effort for, let's face it, the entire road trip. Each start was a solid start. Unfortunately, the following 40 minutes in these last two games wasn't up to par there as well. David Jennings has your news next. We're going to hear from Luke Richardson after the news. This is the Blackhawks postgame show up at 10 o'clock, 720 WGN. Welcome back. Final half hour of the Blackhawks postgame show. Pucks get shut out by the New Jersey Devils 3-0. An extended postgame show tonight. That's why we're on until 10 o'clock. I'm Joe Brand. If you would like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call and or you can text. Give me a call. Let me know what you liked or didn't like about tonight's game. And I imagine more of you didn't like things. Or what'd you like about Lucas Reichel's game? Or how about Arvid Soderblom the past couple of days? Or what about the New Jersey Devils? I mean, they're a fun team to watch. Unfortunately, at the Blackhawks' expense tonight. But, man, do they know how to run the offense. And, again, hopefully an example of what the Blackhawks can be. Definitely an example of what the Blackhawks are trying to become. Luke Richardson did talk with the media. Let's hear from the head coach.
We had some good looks first, second period, and even in the third, you know, Double-A took the puck to the net a couple times tonight, and, you know, Blackie had one shorthanded, and, you know, even some of the shots we took, I think Domi had a good shot choice early, which we talked about on a rush, and the puck bounces right out over his stick, and the same thing on the power play in the third on Kurashev. Like, we're in the right spots, we're just not getting any puck luck, but it goes like that, and I think you have to create your own. So we have to just bear down on a few of those chances and try and create a little bit more ozone time. I thought one shift in the second period, we really had them hemmed in there for a bit and just didn't capitalize on it. So we just got to keep working at it.
Does it start to weigh on them mentally when it's two games now without a goal?
I don't think so. It's two games. You know what I mean? It's a long year, and I think, you know what I mean, they get frustrated certainly at times, but I think now we have a couple days in between. We just dial it back and, just work on some simple stuff and get them shooting the puck and feeling good again, and you got to go right after it the next game because, it doesn't get any easier. Like, the league gets harder as we go along, and that team tonight's a good team. They played very well, and they don't give you a lot of time and space. So, I think we created enough to stay with them. We just couldn't finish off.
Overall, how did Lucas Reichel look to you?
Good, yeah. I thought he skated well. I tried him on the wing and a little bit at center because he's a little more accustomed to playing center. So, I thought he had a couple good moves with the puck there tonight, and he showed some flash. It was a tough game to come in. That team comes at you hard, and he didn't get a whole lot of time on the power play. So, I'm sure he's a little more creative there as well. So, I think for his first time that I've seen him since rookie camp, I thought he's, he was good, and it was a long day for him too. He had to fly in the middle of the day and get here pretty much right from the airport, so that takes a little bit out of you as well. So, I'm sure he'll feel more comfortable next chance he gets.
Was Tate's close at all? Or?
He was trying to see how he's feeling in the afternoon and try to get a little bit of lunch in later after the guys ate, but really at this time of the year with the flu going to be a heavy flu season, we just thought it was best that he doesn't drain himself and then maybe miss three games. So I think that was just a decision that we made. He still wanted to maybe give it a go and try, but I just made the call just for the team's sake.
What went into calling Reichel up over someone else, and do you think he'll stay for a while?
Yeah, well, I think, we'll see how everybody is, and hopefully, any bug doesn't go through the team. But, I think he's been playing good as of late, and he deserved the call-up, and they wanted to, and especially in a position like Taze, in the top six of the lineup, that's where he plays. To call him up and play him in a checking role in the fourth line and not be on the power play wouldn't be a time to call him up, so this was the right time.
With Reichel defensively on that first goal, was that a sorting issue?
I think they just got on the ice because we basically were hemmed in our zone, and then we got two guys off on the line, and I think, I don't know if it was Reese or NC State in there, but we were trying to change as many as we could, and they did a quick up on us, so basically they were barely getting over the boards and looking around to see what happened, but I thought we had trouble with that about three or four times in the first period, the late weak side D joining and maybe us focusing in a little bit too much on worried about their speed entering on the other side.
I know Cal has talked a lot about speed and drafting speed. Are there any similarities to what the Devils do, which you guys would like eventually to do?
Yeah, no, that's how, I thought early in the season, I thought we were playing similar to that, and we're still trying to do it, and I thought we did it a couple times and tracked and stole pucks tonight, but we just couldn't capitalize, where that team's maybe a little bit more refined overall in their lineup and capitalized on some of their chances tonight.
So a couple things to pull from there. I think it was important that Luke Richardson pointed out that pulling up Reichel tonight made a lot more sense, not only because they were in need of a forward with Jonathan Toews being gone, but the fact that they knew that Lucas Reichel was going to get some top 6 minutes and some power play time. Because again, that's another part of why he's down in Rockford right now. You want to get him that type of experience so that he's able to generate all of that experience down there so he can just kind of seamlessly transition to the NHL level once that time comes. If it's a depth guy that goes down, maybe they don't pull up Reichel. Maybe they do, but probably not. So it just made that much more sense. And I might be speaking out of turn here. This might just be speculation, but maybe they do expect, I know Richardson really wouldn't say, he's got to keep his cards close to his chest. Is it chest or vest? I said vest earlier this year. Okay, maybe it's chest. Okay, it's vest? All right, well, right, the two producers, one say chest and one says vest. So, okay, all right, everyone says vest. Anyway, off topic. I understand why Luke Richardson's got to do that, but it would make sense if, okay, possibly Taves is going to be out the next couple of days. Why don't we pull up Lucas Reichel? It's a perfect opportunity to get, again, top 6 minutes, maybe some power play time. And then also, I mean, the fact that there's a couple of home games coming up. This was only the second road game for Lucas Reichel in his NHL career, his 12th game overall. And again, that is strategic work. They don't want him undersized in a matchup too often to where he can get thrown around like Brendan Smith did onto him today. Of course, after the whistle that gave the Blackhawks a power play, they weren't able to capitalize on that, but still, that's the whole point of him being down. I also think it's important for Richardson to, you know, whether fans believe him or not, to basically express that he's not panicking or not too discouraged after two games without a goal. Yes, it's frustrating for fans, and yes, it's not much to write home about when you leave the end of the road trip outscored 6-0. But he said it's two games, and also, what do you want Richardson to do? To just explode on this team when they're missing Jonathan Toews, Tyler Johnson, Sam Lafferty, Jared Tenorti, two of their goaltenders, again, even though Soderblom's been great. And then what happens if they score one goal against the Winnipeg Jets after a hard-fought effort? This is the long run. This is the long-term plan for this team right now. And that's why things are unfortunately frustrating right now. But you got to look through it. You got to look at it through a certain perspective. And one more note on Arvid Soderblom. I know I mentioned this on Sunday, but his performance in these last few games especially, even though the Blackhawks are shut out, even though they don't have too much to be offensively pleased about in the final two periods of each of the last two games, this is what a solid goaltender can make the difference in by keeping it at least competitive, by keeping it at least a three-goal game. If he's totally on his side and just letting everything through, now you got something to be really ticked off about and frustrated about. But he is still keeping the Blackhawks in these games somewhat. And that's huge for this team right now, at least I believe. Something happened in the NHL tonight that has never happened in the past. We'll get to that and more coming up next on the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. The Blackhawks are still a little depleted right now in terms of their roster. They're missing a handful of guys, and unfortunately, the captain, Jonathan Toews, joined that list earlier today. He was not involved in morning skate, out with non-COVID-like illness. I think someone said flu-like symptoms, but I don't want to, again, speak out of turn. I don't think that was officially reported, but as Luke Richardson had mentioned earlier in the postgame comments, with the flu going around, you just want to be cautious about that and make sure more of the team doesn't get it. So, yes, hopefully it sticks to the extent of Jonathan Toews, and he's able to quickly recover from that and rejoin the team against Winnipeg on Friday. But before this game, they're still missing Sam Lafferty, Jared Tenorti, Tyler Johnson, Alex Stalock, Peter Mrazek, just a handful of really important guys. Here's the latest on all of them from Luke Richardson.
Max obviously is here on a 1 year, but it seems like he's just so bought into what you guys are trying to do. Is that tough to think about, that, you know, he's the kind of year he's having for you?
I don't think so. I think he's enjoying it. He's growing into like a bigger leadership role as well at this time of his career. And, you know, I think he loves the city and he knows it's a great opportunity. So I think it's a good a match for both of us, for the team and for him at this point in his career. So that's the business side of things. You know, I don't really worry about guys going anywhere. If they're having fun and you treat them with respect, I think they're always going to want to be there and have that opportunity with you.
Do you have any injury updates on any of the guys?
No, I don't think so. I think Lafferty is going to be soon to join us in practice when we get home next week, and Tyler Johnson's going to be a little bit further after him, and I have not heard of anything from Tenorti other than just letting his hip settle down, so hopefully that's sooner than later too.
The same with Mrazek?
Mrazek actually is moving around, but not ready to go on the ice yet, so he's in good spirits and he's moving around, so I'm hoping that's a good sign that it wasn't as bad as last time.
You know, when we see some of these young guys like Stauber come up, you can just see something in their eyes about the excitement. Do you notice that, and does it ever get old?
Yeah, no, it's great. You know, I think we've seen it a couple times this year. And, you know, even Mitchell's been here a little bit, but he's still young and getting another opportunity and hasn't played much, so he knows it's a good chance, right? And you love to see them take that opportunity and make the most of it. And, you know, a guy here for the first time especially, that's fun to see and enjoy. And, you know, maybe it makes the other guys kind of reflect on their first time, and then think time goes by fast. So, like, you know, you've got to make sure you take advantage of every opportunity, not just a young guy, but even the older guys that have been around a long time. It doesn't last forever, so you got to make sure that you enjoy it, but make the most of that opportunity.
Do you know his dad at all? Or?
No, just played against him a little bit, but no, I don't think I've ever met him.
Yeah, the last few comments about Jackson Stauber, the goaltender that's been called up from Rockford with Peter Mrazek going down in this road trip. And also forgot that we tacked on another one of Phil Thompson of the Chicago Tribune's question is about Max Domi's production on this Blackhawks team, despite it being a one-year deal. But the latest on the injuries also there. Again, something happened in the NHL tonight that's never happened before. More on that, and we'll take a look around the league when we come back to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after a fall to the New Jersey Devils 3-0. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Our final stop on the Blackhawks postgame show. Thank you to those of you who stuck around for our extended version tonight. Unfortunately, not a great one to recap, but we appreciate you sticking on here on 720 WGN. Let's get to the out-of-towns tonight. A decent slate of games in the NHL in tonight's landscape. Let's start in Ottawa.
Knocked out of Kachuk's hands. Kopitar played it across, hit the stick of Drew. Arvidsson off the bench, scores! Victor Arvidsson, a snipe, top corner on Cam Talbot. And it's 4-1 LA.
Arvidsson wouldn't get the hat trick, but the Kings would get the win. 5-2 over the Senators as LA improves to 14-10-4. That's Alex Faust of Bally Sports West. Let's go to Pittsburgh.
Crosby knocks a puck out of midair, feeds Malkin on the half wall on the right wing side. Malkin across the ice for Gensel down low. There's Crosby, and he scoops it in. Sidney Crosby picking up his second of the game as he was parked down along the goal line just to the right of the Penguins' net. Jake Gensel knew just where to find him, and it's now 3-1 Penguins lead.
Another loss for the Columbus Blue Jackets. You can almost hear it in Bob McElligott's voice of WBNS 97.1, the Fan out in Columbus. 4-1 in favor of Pittsburgh. The Blue Jackets are now 1-4-1 over their last six games. Crosby with two goals in that game. He's on pace for 47 this year. Let's head down to the Sunshine State.
Here's a lead feed in, scores! Rasmussen!
What a shot by Michael Rasmussen.
Ken Daniels of Bally Sports Detroit as the Red Wings pick up a 4-2 winner over the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Derek Lalonde's first return to Tampa Bay after 4 years of being the assistant coach. Red Wings pick up their 13th win of the season, still hanging on to that second wild card spot out in the East. Let's go to the island.
Here's a break for Will Bitten through the left circle. Right circle, one-timer, they score! Ivan Barbashev fires it home. St. Louis has the 2-1 lead, and Will Bitten has his first point in the National Hockey League.
So after shutting out the Blackhawks on Sunday 3-0, the Islanders lose by 3 goals, a 7-4 winner for the St. Louis Blues. That's big for St. Louis. They allowed 6 goals in their last 3 games, but not tonight as they pick up 7 in this one. They pick up their 12th win of the year. Islanders move to 16-11-0. That call courtesy of Chris King of WRHU 88.7 FM. Let's go down to the Lone Star State.
The draw control, Giordano in the high slot, Marner, long wrister through traffic, fought off, the rebound, score! Tavares puts it behind Ottinger, and Toronto has the early lead.
Joe Bowen of Sportsnet TSN, the Maple Leafs now lead 4-0 in that game over Dallas. The Stars going with the empty net with 4 minutes left in the third period. Tavares and Matthews each scoring in that game as Toronto and Dallas each featuring a player with at least an 18-game point streak. That's the first time that's ever happened in the NHL. Jason Robertson right now with an 18-game point streak on the line. Not quite sure if Mitch Marner was involved in any of those 4 goals, but he has a 19-game point streak. That is a franchise record for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's go down to Anaheim.
And the Ducks get a loose puck in front. Comtois scores! Boy, great work by Silverberg on the forecheck. He dislodges the puck, and welcome back to the lineup, Max Comtois.
John Ehlers of Bally Sports SoCal, as the Ducks are trying to pick up their 7th win of the season while snapping Carolina's 4-game winning streak. They've got a 2-1 lead through 20 minutes out in California, as Carolina is 14-6-5. Going into that game. All right, let's go to Seattle.
Kovacevic will send it back for Matheson. Gord, Bjorkstrand, Reif, scores! Shane Reif, his first goal in the National Hockey League!
That's right, John Forslund of Root Sports Northwest. Shane Wright scoring against the team that didn't draft him, the Montreal Canadiens, who have allowed 17 goals in their last 4 games, but they're currently tied at 1 through 1 period out in Seattle. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser, ComEd for Business, ComEd powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to our entire crew here at the WGN studios, our producers of Jack Heinrich and Ben Anderson, and our engineers of Dan Long and Brett Jackson, not to mention our play-by-play and color crew of John Weideman and Troy Murray out at the Prudential Center, unfortunately covering a 3-0 loss for the Blackhawks to the New Jersey Devils. For everyone that I mentioned, I'm Joe Brand. We'll talk to you Friday night as the Blackhawks host the Winnipeg Jets from the United Center. 7:30 puck drop, 7 o'clock pregame right here on 720 WGN.